You're listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today, Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of The Reminder Newspapers. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
There's a lot to talk about after Tuesday's Massachusetts primaries, and let's start with the 1st Congressional District, which covers a large chunk of Western Mass. Democrat Richard Neal of Springfield is headed back to Washington for a 16th term after defeating Tahira Amatul Wadud. The margin of victory, 40 percentage points. Here's Neal addressing supporters after the victory.
Never to this day run a negative TV ad. Right? Never a recrimination. It was, once again, we have been united by the principle that we tell them what we're for.
Matt, does that 40-point margin surprise you at all?
Not really at all. I mean, there's so many factors that go into this, in addition to money and name recognition that he simply had so much more of. You know, I think that there's definitely a comfort level that people, particularly in Metro Springfield, have with Richard Neal. It's very different from the situation that you have like out in Boston, where Mike Capuano lost to Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley. The population there is changing on a regular basis in a way that it just isn't around here. And so there are people who probably remember Neal as mayor, and they will vote for him for Congress.
And we should mention, Matt, that you did endorse Neal your website. Mike, Amatul Wadud went after Neal in campaign fundraising and made health care one of her key points. Is there anything she could have done differently?
There were some people who commented to me that they thought she went negative on Neal, especially in one of the TV debates that they did. I think the bottom line to anything like this is that this is a huge district. It's hard to do door knocking. It's hard to do the kind of appearances that you have to do in a district that stretches from what Pittsfield to what Sturbridge, right?
Right.
I mean, this is a lot of geographic territory, and I think it's very daunting for a person who is a neophyte, B, doesn't have a huge operation behind her, a huge campaign operation behind her. I think it's tough, and I think it's a very good example of maybe reaching a little bit too far your first time out.
Meanwhile, the race for Massachusetts governor is now also set. Republican incumbent Charlie Baker will face a challenge from Democrat Jay Gonzalez in November. Each candidate won their respective primary with more than 60% of the vote. Mike, Baker remains one of the more popular governors in the country and has a lot of money compared to Gonzalez, but Gonzalez is running as a Democrat in a very blue state. What do you make of this matchup?
Okay, so I will reveal to this audience how I vote. I never vote for anybody who doesn't send me a press release. Okay, so I got absolutely nothing from the Gonzalez campaign. He was not a presence out here, really. Well, Matt's disagreeing with me, which is good because he knows more than me. But I didn't see him. I didn't hear from him. You got to be aggressive against a guy like Charlie Baker. I mean, the postcard that I did get at my house address was the biggest postcard of any candidate. So he sent out a huge postcard. But honestly, I didn't see him. I don't know what he's about. I've only seen him once out here. And I just don't think that he's going to be able to make much a dent against Baker, who appeals to everybody.
Matt, conservative pastor Scott Lively did manage to get just over a third of the vote in the Republican primary while running against Baker. Is that a sign of trouble for the governor?
I think it's a sign of yes and no. Is it a sign of trouble that's going to defeat him in November? No. Is it a sign of trouble generally? Yes, because I think the Massachusetts Republican Party is running on borrowed time to a certain extent. They have a Trump-ish wing in them, but it's smaller relative to the Trump wing in the National Republican Party. But they're basically governed by the same type of, if you will, plutocrats that people accuse Republicans of being governed generally, you know, wealthy people who, you know, control a lot of business and industry. And those people are, you know, losing a share of the vote. So, I mean, long term, you could start seeing Lively voters, Trump voters, taking a more assertive step, a more assertive control of the Massachusetts Republican Party. And you saw that in the Senate race, where a very pro-Trump candidate is now the nominee to challenge Elizabeth Warren.
Also this week, many legislative races were contested in Western Mass, including the state Senate seat formerly held by Stan Rosenberg of Amherst. Joe Comerford, running as a write-in, won the Democratic primary with 54% or more than 14,000 votes. So what does she think of that figure?
That's a rather jaw-dropping number in terms of a write-in campaign.
Matt, you've written about this, but there's going to be five new legislators, including Comerford, headed to Beacon Hill from the Upper Valley. Will Hampshire and Franklin counties take a hit for a little while?
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, I think on the one hand, yes, because you don't have the same kind of seniority, the same kind of connections with the existing leadership. But it's happening, and we'll start with the House, it's happening at a time of upheaval. And, you know, they've got a couple of long-term Boston legislators in leadership who lost their primary battle. And some people think that that could start an insurrection of sorts in the House, in which case, if you're new, you don't have any loyalty to anybody. So you could be a free agent and get on aboard a brand new legislative train, so to speak. I think Comerford will have a little bit of a different situation, but it's the Senate's smaller where, you know, it's only 40 members. You might be able to link up with people pretty quickly.
Mike, looking at things from a regional perspective, do some of the more veteran legislators in places like Berkshire County and Hampden County, do they need to step up for a little while to help fill the gap from a lot of experience in, let's say, Hampshire County that's not there anymore?
Well, I think the key to any legislative success for the four western counties is for everyone in the delegation representing the four western counties to be working together. So yes, I mean, you have some veteran people like State Rep Joe Wagner in a leadership position from Chicopee. I'm sure that Joe is the kind of guy. I know he's the kind of guy. He wants a strong delegation, so he is certainly going to help anyone who is entering the State House for the first time in understanding how things work and in forming a team to try to get Western Massachusetts represented well.
And finally, there is a district attorney's race in Berkshire County. Andrea Harrington nosed out Paul Cacaviello in the Democratic primary. Of course, Cacaviello was the hand-picked successor to David Capeless. Mike, this move raised eyebrows at the time quickly. Any surprise that Harrington ended up beating the incumbent DA?
I think that this is a time where there's been plenty of surprises across the state and across the country. So, you know, nothing really shocks me. We have a group of people who are challenging the status quo, and I think that's very, very healthy.
Matt, I'll give you the last word.
I can say that there was an effort in Massachusetts to try to recruit people who would be more to the left on criminal justice reform issues. I'm not surprised that some of those candidates won, such as Andrea Harrington. They probably put some muscle behind to help her.
All right, Matt Szafranski of Western Mass Politics and Insight and Mike Dobbs of The Reminder, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.